America stands at a pivotal moment in its history. In 2012, a 19-year-old Charlie Kirk sat in an Illinois coffee shop with just $400 left in his organization's bank account. 4 years later, that same organization, Turning Point USA, would reach 30 million people weekly and operate on over 1,000 college campuses. This remarkable journey mirrors the larger struggle for America's soul. Will we embrace our founding principles of limited government and individual liberty, or continue down a path of expanding federal control and collective dependency? The stakes couldn't be higher. As government consumes over 20% of GDP and employs 22 million people, nearly twice the manufacturing sector, we face a fundamental choice about what kind of nation we want to be. Do we want citizens who ask, "What must I do?" or those who ask, "Who will help me?" The answer will determine whether America remains exceptional or becomes another failed experiment in centralized control. Imagine two contrasting lives, Julia and Julio. Julia's life revolves around government dependency, from Head Start at age 3 to Medicare at 67. She moves between federal programs, taking resources while merely surviving with minimal engagement in private enterprise. Julio attends a school chosen through vouchers. He finances education through family savings, community loans, and internships with companies receiving educational tax deductions. By 35, he launches a technology company employing 180 people, generating tax revenue and supporting local charities. The fundamental difference? Julia takes from society, while Julio creates opportunities for others. One life is endured, the other actively lived through purposeful choices and contributions. These narratives represent different views of human potential, as capable individuals directing our own lives, or as wards requiring constant supervision. What's at stake extends beyond individual lives to our institutions and culture. Julia's world diminishes families, churches, and voluntary associations, while Julio's story shows how these institutions thrive when government power is limited and individual initiative encouraged. The federal budget has grown to $3.59 trillion annually, about $11,219 per American, with a $420 billion deficit. While defense takes $527 billion, health and human services $982 billion, and Social Security $905 billion far exceed military spending, despite defense being the only constitutionally mandated federal function. Government waste includes funding for cannabis symphony concerts, $15,000, Wikipedia gender bias studies, $202,000, and condom reinvention grants, $2.4 million. Tax Freedom Day now falls on April 24, with Americans spending more on taxes than on food, clothing, and housing combined. Federal regulations expanded from 22,877 pages in 1960 to 175,268 by 2014. Each rule benefits someone at another's expense, with large corporations often helping create regulations they can navigate but that block competitors. If people are inherently flawed, why assume those writing regulations are more virtuous or intelligent? Until America's founding, virtually all governments operated on the premise that unlimited centralized power was necessary for order. The Founding Fathers created something unprecedented, a government designed to limit its own power and maximize individual liberty. Their constitutional experiment was a calculated risk based on studying failed civilizations. The principles they established, limited government, individual liberty, and free markets, spread throughout the Western world and remain globally aspirational. Dismissing the founders as merely dead white European males ignores their genuine brilliance. Franklin, Madison, and Jefferson were intellectual peers of philosophers like Locke who took the crucial step of implementing these theories into a functioning nation. The Constitution has been misinterpreted to justify government expansion. The Commerce Clause, originally intended to prevent interstate tolls, now justifies federal overreach. Similarly, promote the general welfare meant keeping people safe, not transferring wealth or regulating health care. The context shows the founders intended to limit government power, not expand it. When was the last time government created something truly revolutionary? Free markets have accomplished more in less time than big government ever has. While it took 1,450 years from Augustus's handwritten decrees to Gutenberg's printing press, today you can download the entire King James Bible to your smartphone instantly for free. Google began in a Stanford dorm room with $100,000 in funding. Now it handles 91 million searches daily and develops self-driving cars. Amazon started in Jeff Bezos's garage. Uber emerged from founders' frustration about finding cabs, exemplifying Adam Smith's invisible hand, where Apple's iPhone enabled an app that transformed transportation beyond any government planner's vision. Free enterprise neutralizes greed by requiring even the greediest person to provide value. Unlike government-controlled systems where the greedy ally with officials, in free markets both Gordon Gekko and Alan Altruist must follow the same path, creating products others willingly purchase. Exploitation thrives in countries without capitalism. In free markets, workers can leave dangerous jobs, and competition drives wages higher, as when Henry Ford doubled wages to $5 daily in 1914 to reduce turnover and attract better workers. Free enterprise generates resources for a compassionate society. Americans are exceptionally charitable, with private charities typically delivering 80-90% of donations to recipients compared to 30-40% for government programs. You shouldn't have the right to make me uncomfortable. This statement exemplifies the anti-free speech sentiment spreading across campuses. At College of DuPage, Joe Enders faced arrest threats for simply distributing pocket constitutions, accused of soliciting his own opinion. A professor claimed the Constitution wasn't fully binding on their semi-public institution. Creighton University denied Turning Point USA's application and demanded TPUSA remove Creighton from its website. At Hagerstown Community College, Mariah DeMartino's TPUSA chapter was rejected for supposedly duplicating an existing club. When gathering petition signatures, campus police stopped her, citing solicitation. These cases reflect a broader trend. UCLA research shows professors identifying as liberal or far left increased from 42% in 1990 to 60% in 2014. Conservative graduate students feel as marginalized as closeted gay students in the 1980s. Meanwhile, student governments control massive budgets, from $17 million at UCF to over $30 million at UCLA, funded through mandatory fees and influenced by off-campus leftist organizations. We've become polarized between team right and team left, reflexively defending positions based on political identity rather than facts. This tribal membership creates cognitive bias. We side with our teammates without evaluating evidence, making rational debate impossible. The true political spectrum isn't about right versus left, but about the balance between individual freedom and collective control. Individualists embrace natural law and minimal government, while collectivists believe small groups should make decisions for society's greater good. To move forward, we must break free from unconscious tribalism. Ask yourself, should individuals be primarily responsible for themselves, or should government make decisions for individuals when deemed beneficial for all? The Constitution was written to stand the test of time. America's future depends on reclaiming our founding principles of individual liberty, limited government, and free markets, creating a society where people thrive through their own initiative rather than dependency. The choice is ours.